One of the things that I remember about growing up in a small rural town as a kid was that every week we had a local paper. I grew up in a town called Milford, Illinois, which had probably around 1,500 people, but we had a paper. And one of the things that we looked forward to every, well, some of us looked forward to it more than others, was that they had a section in the paper that told who came and paid a visit to someone else that week. And I remember every week you could get caught up on the information about who had paid someone else a visit. And it was very interesting because I remember the first time that I went in, maybe you can identify with that being if you were born and raised in a small town. But I remember the first time I went in to share some information about a visit, I met this lady who was the one who was in charge. And when I first met her, it just took me back a little bit. She was wheelchair bound. And I remember she had these real short, gnarly little fingers. And I thought, this is an interesting lady. But boy, can she type on the typewriter. And as I gave her information, she would just peck away like crazy. And then she would write an article about the visit that was received that particular week. And so she did this every week, and it was her job to keep this up. So she might write something like this in her report, as she would say in her little thing for the week on visiting. On Wednesday, Mrs. Oral Minchell was surprised by a visit from her grandson, Andrew, who is living in Dayton, Wyoming, and working for State Farm Insurance. While visiting, Oral and her grandson enjoyed a meal of pot roast, in parentheses, one of Andrew's favorites, in parentheses, and mashed potatoes and gravy with carrots and corn. They also had for dessert Oral's famous pound cake with Kool-Aid. After coffee, Andrew left to go back to Bloomington to his friend Clayton's home. Now, needless to say, this dear lady got paid by the word. So she embellished everything that she could to get the money out of that article. Here's my point. The point was that you knew in Milford when somebody else had received a visitor. Turn with me to the book of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 39. And we're going to take a look at a special visit from a special visitor. And it was somebody who would never forget the experience that happened to them in their lives. When we look at this account in Luke chapter 1, we're going to see some very interesting things. Now, in the account that we're going to look at this morning, you're going to see some aspects about this surprise visit that really changed one person's life or made an impact upon their lives, and how we can also expect God, when He visits us, to make an impact on our lives. Father, we just pray and ask that this morning, by your Holy Spirit, you might speak to our hearts. And Father, we ask that we would be open and receptive to those special visits that you make in our lives, that we would not waste them, that we would use them, and that they would be special times for us of remembrance. And so, Lord, we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit this morning, would speak to us about our own lives and about our encounters with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Luke reports that shortly after we had seen last week that Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Last week we saw that she was promised that she would be conceived, she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. And so after this happens, Mary gets ready, and she goes to a town in Judah to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And we remember that Elizabeth was already miraculously pregnant. Not in the same way that Mary was, but Elizabeth and Zacharias were beyond childbearing age. And we also are told that Elizabeth was barren. So in that sense, it was a miracle birth for Elizabeth as well. But she was now expecting her first child in her old age. And she is expecting this to happen. She's really excited about it. But she also, because of the overwhelmingness of it, she went into seclusion, the scriptures tell us, for about 5 months. And so she's right at the end of this 5-month period. of her seclusion when this event occurs. And she is now about to receive a special visitor. Actually, she's going to receive two visitors. Would you read with me in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39? Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry. Notice that, in a hurry. It's shortly after she finds out about the fact that she is going to become pregnant. She becomes pregnant, and then it says she went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. When we understand about this, notice that it said in a hurry, that she left in a hurry. So I think Mary's haste indicates that there was an eagerness on her part to see her cousin and to tell Elizabeth what God had done for her and that what he would do for the rest of the world in sending the Messiah. I believe it was God who sent Mary. I think he prompted her because he knew that Elizabeth was pregnant and he knew that he wanted them to come together to be encouraged at this time. And I believe that when we look at this whole thing, it was God who would visit Elizabeth in a life-changing way. In a life-changing way. The first thing that we see here is something that takes place, and that is that John leaps. It just says, you know, it says the baby, but we know that it was going to be John. It would be John the Baptist eventually. Notice what happened there. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. This meeting was a very dramatic meeting. Luke tells us that as Mary enters the house, as she's coming into the house of Zacharias, she greets Elizabeth. Now, greetings can carry a lot of different emotions, and they can carry different responses when we hear them. So there can be different things that we hear from different greetings. When your boss comes in and says he's going to give you some extra duties and he wants it done immediately, that's one greeting. When your mother or mother-in-law tells you they are going to stay with you indefinitely, that is another greeting. Some of the faces out here are cringing. Like, I don't know if that's a reality or that's a thought that you think might happen. When I call you and ask you if you'd be willing to do something, you say, "Sure!" You just love to do that, Pastor. Or when the doctor's office calls and says your cholesterol is up and you have to go on some new medication, which is going to cost you an arm and a leg. Or maybe even worse, your doctor calls and says you have cancer. So, greetings can evoke strong emotions. But you know, I don't think those compare to what happened when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. When we look at this whole concept of what happens, what was it that took place when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting? Well, we understand this, that she was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It says that when Mary came there, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I think really, actually, it was probably a good thing that she was filled with the Spirit of God, because we're told in the text what happens also at the same time. When the sound of Mary, or Elizabeth says, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. As I thought about that, I thought it was probably a good thing she was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Those ladies who have been pregnant can understand this. You know, that would have been a very rousing leap in that baby's womb. And you would say, it would have been nice to be filled with the Spirit when my baby leapt a couple of times. Now, in the latter stages of pregnancy, especially moms, you realize there are times when your baby would give you an extra powerful kick. Anybody identify with that? Yes, indeed. Maybe even right now, right? Yeah, there you go. All right, good. We're good to hear that, Kirsten. That's great. But when those happened, they were very strong. But you have to look at the wording there. When it says leap, in the Greek word there, that means that this was an upward vault. It wasn't just a small little twitter or what you've ever experienced. This is something radically different. This leap in Mary's or Elizabeth's womb was like something when you are at your child's or your grandchild's ball game and they do something fantastic. Or when the Cubs win the World Series. Yes! Like that, okay? Can you imagine your baby doing that? Yes, Mom! That's the kind of leap I'm talking about. It was very profound. It wasn't just a little tickling sensation. This is a major, mega leap in Elizabeth's womb. So that's why I think it was good that she was filled with the Spirit of God and was able to handle that leap. But that's exciting, because that baby showed us that there was life in that womb, and that life somehow had the capacity. And we know that he was also filled with the Spirit, but he had the capacity to sense emotion. Why did Elizabeth's baby do that? Why did this baby react in this way? Well, there were two reasons. First, there was a prophet in her womb. John the Baptist was called a prophet. And this prophet was in her womb. And you know what? This was his very first prophecy. John the Baptist's ministry was beginning 3 months before his birth. He was doing what? He was announcing the Savior, Jesus Christ. He was in the very presence of God himself. And by the Holy Spirit of God, who is filling John at this time, John makes his first prophecy. And he says, this is Jesus, the Messiah. And Elizabeth is the one who is able to receive that in that vault. The Holy Spirit with whom he was filled prompted his inner vault. It said that when he went there, and we know in the earlier part of this chapter that he was filled with the Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Secondly, John leapt because he was overcome with the emotion of joy. Notice the wording there. This fetus, the world today is trying to destroy the fetuses. But yet it is, and they say there's no life there, but there is. And John the Baptist is a classic example of that. He was filled with the Spirit, and his spirit rejoiced in the womb of his mother before he was even born, at the presence of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of the world. Now, don't miss this point. The more exact sense is that he leaped with delight. When you look at the wording, he leaped with delight. It wasn't just a leap. He was excited about this. Don't miss this point. The fetus, which was yet to see the light of the world, was just now seeing by the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, the light of the world. Isn't that awesome? Now, John would, in his later years, as an adult, he would be the one who would baptize his cousin, Jesus. When Jesus came down and said, I want to be baptized. You know, he'd say, why? I'm not even worthy to untie the thongs on your sandals. Why would you want me to do that? He said, because it's fulfilling all things that need to be fulfilled. But when he did that, and after he baptized him, and Jesus was still walking in that area, John is the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He was the prophet who would announce that Jesus would come to offer himself as a sacrifice on the cross. When you think about your own life, think back to when you were saved. Many of you were saved in a very radical and a very dramatic way. And maybe many of you were just excited to that point that when you trusted Christ, there was a joy that filled your heart and a peace that came over you. Remember that joy when you first saw the light of the world as you trusted him for your salvation. And now remember this. In your life today, Jesus can bring joy to your heart. Keeping your eyes focused upon him will bring joy into your life. We talked this morning in Sunday school about gratitude and about being thankful for the things that we have. And you know, it's difficult to have that attitude of gratitude when you're so focused on the negative circumstances around you that you can't see beyond those circumstances. But once we take our eyes off of those and we look to Jesus, once we come into the presence of Christ, as John did, that he makes your heart, the Holy Spirit makes your heart leap for joy, even in the midst of all of that turmoil, as we choose to allow him to work in our lives. So we see the joy that John the Baptist experienced at that particular point, and also Elizabeth as well. So what does Mary do? Mary rejoices in this. And when we see this, she was filled. Verses 46 to 55, Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Spirit, and his joy announces not only that Mary is truly blessed and the fruit of her womb is a blessing, but she also makes this announcement that Mary is blessed. Why? Because of her faith. Look at verse 45. Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be" what? "A fulfillment, that God would keep his requirement of what he had been spoken to her by the Lord." You see, somehow, by the Holy Spirit of God, Elizabeth understood that Mary was going to have this baby, and that there would be a fulfillment, that she knew this was the Messiah. This was going to be the one who would come to take away the sin of the world. The Holy Spirit of God brought that to her. And she said, "Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." So it's faith. And Elizabeth recognized that in Mary. That's something that really blesses us. Mary is an example of the fact that faith is, it's more than just intellectual belief up here. It's the issue of trust here. I can think about it and know it up here, but until I trust it here, the connection is not going to be made, and there's not going to be an understanding in my heart and life about what God does. Mary first intellectually believed what Gabriel told her. She believed that the virgin birth was possible and that it would happen. But she also trusted her whole life to God's promise. And then that's what she does here in verses 46 through 55. We call that the Magnificat. It's a Latin word which means to exalt. And that's where we get it from. When Mary says, "My soul exalts the Lord," that word "exalts" is where they get the word Magnificat. And it is a Latin word which means to exalt, to give praise. When she understood that, she gave praise to God. When we see God, we should be willing, when we see him in our lives working, when we see him in our hearts doing the work that he wants to do, when we have those special encounters, those special visits with us, whether it's an epiphany of some kind, or whether it's the strong, still presence of his person in our lives, we should be overcome with joy and give him praise. How long has it been since you've experienced that? God wants to do that. He wants you to experience his joy, but it requires a special visit from God. It requires being willing to sit down with him and to allow him to work in your hearts and lives. So, rejoicing is coming through our lives by faith as we trust in what he does for us, as Mary did and as Elizabeth did. The other thing that we see here from this whole text is that God cares. God knew. You stop and think about this. We talked last week about the fact that Mary was probably between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. Very young, but yet not uncommon in those days to get married at that age. And yet, here was a small town. You think Milford was bad? I mean, just because everybody in town knew about my son Andrew and his favorite dish was roast beef and mashed potatoes and gravy. This is nothing like what would happen in Nazareth. Mary was going to go back to a town. Some of her neighbors, were told from text later on, rejoiced with her as well as her family. But a lot of those people in that small town, do you know what happens in small towns when somebody does something that's really out of the ordinary? Ever been there and done that? It's called gossip. The rumors fly, the innuendos go everywhere, and people start buzzing. And Mary knew, and God knew, that when Mary went back to Nazareth, that's exactly what was going to happen. So he was preparing her heart. He cared for her enough to send her to Elizabeth. She spends 3 months with her. They talked about their pregnancies, their excitement, and part of that was also because he knew she would need to be encouraged and strengthened to face all of that when she returned. That is why I believe that God sent her. He sent Mary to Elizabeth to be encouraged by what God was doing in both of their lives. There is a strong lesson here for us as far as our own lives. They were both miraculously expecting, and now they were sharing a special fellowship that only the two of those ladies could have experienced, and God knew that. They would carry them through the rough times ahead. They could talk together now about what the scriptures meant, and they could pray together. They could talk also about the birth and about babies. And from opposite directions, here's Elizabeth, who is barren, never had a child, wasn't even expected to ever have a child, and she was older. Here was Mary, who was very young and very tender and had never even understood what was going on. Both of them had never been through that. They would talk about that. And the encouragement, I believe, flowed between the two of them for 3 months that they were together. Life was filled with expectancy, much as it is for those who first experienced the new life of Christ within. I remember when I first got saved that there was something different in my life that was radically new, and I couldn't soak it up enough. And I just remember that there were so many questions that I had and so many things that I wanted to learn about this new relationship that I had with Jesus. And so when we think about that, maybe we need to think this week about, there might be somebody that you know that needs to be paid a visit from you. Maybe they need to be encouraged in some way. And maybe God's Spirit might be prompting you, maybe even right now, there's someone that he's been talking to you about, and you just have this little nudging, you know, you ought to go see so-and-so. Ask and seek God's heart and mind this week about, maybe there's somebody you should go visit this week that you could encourage and that you could lift up. God's prompting could be there as it was for Mary and Elizabeth. So in our own lives, personal reflection, the scriptures aren't going to do us any good unless we reflect upon them personally, unless we apply something in our lives. So as we think about what happened when Mary visited Elizabeth, I think there's some things for us to learn here as well and about our own lives. First of all, when you see and greet people, when you encounter others, do they see the joy of the Lord in you? Or do they see a selfishness or a lack of compassion? Do they see a joyless heart? Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord. I'm really doing well. He blesses me. You know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if you don't say it from a heart that truly is experiencing that, it's not going to come across very well. So do they see your lives and your actions that you have Christ living in you? Does your spirit leap for joy as John's did? Do they see the joy in your lives? The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what the scriptures tell us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy comes, I believe, that there are some things that we have to be able to come with open hearts to if we're going to experience that joy. The first one is obviously belief. Do you believe without reservation that Jesus Christ is God? That he is indeed Lord? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins and paid with his own blood the price for your sins? Do you believe that he was physically resurrected and has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God? Do you believe you're a sinner and your only hope is in Christ? If that's true, then you need to trust him for that. You need to trust the finished work of Christ, that he is the one who did the work. You know, Ron had a beautiful, beautiful talk this morning about what could he do to be able to improve his marketing? What could he do to get some of those debts taken care of? What can you do, he asked, to take care of the debt of your sin? You can't do anything. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. So when we look at this whole concept, do we understand what he did for us? And do we trust him? Have you trusted him alone? Have you rested everything in your life upon him for your salvation? Are you trusting in the finished work? Joy also comes as we open up our hearts to service. We talked about the idea of service this morning in Sunday school. And are you willing to publish in a public newspaper the fact that you are a born-again Christian and that you have Jesus living in your heart? Well, I think you publish that at times by your service. When people see, as Jesus said, they see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. Are you willing to use and spend your life for Jesus Christ? To use it for the pursuit of service and to be a disciple who is growing, studying the Word of God and being involved with other people in the Word of God. Lastly, you need to understand this. You can have rest in Christ. Do you know beyond doubt that God cares for you today? Mary did. Elizabeth did after their encounter with each other and with the encounter that they had with Jesus himself. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God cared for them. He cares for you. He'll care for you through the encouragement of his word and his promises for you. That's why the word of God is so important. You need to be in the word of God to understand the encouragement that he gives you in the word of God. He cares for you through the encouragement of other believers. That's why I said be open to whom you might be wanting to be called by God to go and visit this week. You might be an encouragement. Remember when David was being pursued by Saul, said that Jonathan went to David and he encouraged him in the Lord. So there might be somebody that you need to go and see. He understands everything about anything that is going on in your life. And he wants you, as Mary, to be able to do this. To humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. To trust him totally with your whole life. Mary didn't have any idea just a few weeks before this all took place that she would be going to see her cousin. God moved her to do that. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand and then cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You can trust that if God pays you a special visit, that he will give you the strength and the encouragement that he needs. Allow him to do that this week. Spend time with him in the quietness of your own heart. Father, thank you so much for this account of this special visitor. Actually, two special visitors, Mary and the baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the visitation that you put upon us when you came and you saved us. And now we thank you that you want us to fix our eyes upon Jesus at all times, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we might be strengthened by him, and that we might be encouraged by him, that we might receive the joy and the excitement of following him in each and every day of our lives to the glory and honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.